Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. We also have to talk about Kent draining some shot. That's right, folks. That's right. It's basketball season. Kent's outside in the rain, and he's also here talking basketball with us. How you doing, Kent?
Basketball never sleeps. Listen, a little bit of rain outside, a little dark. You got to get out there and get your shots up still, people. Like, you know, 15 shots a day will keep the doctor away. I've always said that.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
You know, it doesn't have to be an hour outside. Just go put up a couple shots. See a couple go through the rim, and it'll give you extra confidence for doing stuff like the Big Ten huddle when you're talking about basketball, baby.
There you go. My older brother once told me, he said, if you go out and shoot before a game that you watch, if you shoot well, your team will shoot well. And I thoroughly believed that until I was like 14 years old. So
that's factual. That's factual for other people. I always had a problem like in high school. I always like if I shot well in warmups, I always shot horribly in the game and vice versa. I don't know what that was. I don't know.
I always just hit the layups and warmups, so but that's also the only shot I could make. So, all right, let's talk about some Big Ten basketball before we get into it. Let's see who's here in the chat. We have John. John says, I'm not panicking, but Goody only making two threes through two exhibition games and one live game to me is a bit concerning. Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that. I don't know if you had that down to talk about, Kent, but Luke Goody, it's not the three ball has not been falling for him so far.
Yeah, I did not have that down quite yet. I haven't had a chance to go in as deep on every single team as I would like to at this point in the season, but I'm going to get there, though. You know, it's early. The refs are still trying to figure things out. Goody's still trying to figure things out. A lot of fans are still learning that Chris Collins is the best coach in the conference. So, like, everyone's learning at this point right now, and I'll figure things out as we go through the season here.
We will. And when we do these, you know, panic and concern, like confident thing, we're going to go kind of quick. So I'm not going to go super in depth with every team, but we will hit on stuff. We have Michael here saying, hey, thanks for being here, Michael. We appreciate you. John asking us how we're doing. It's basketball season, John. I'm doing great. I'm doing fantastic.
Is this the best time of year, by the way? Like, I've always said March is the best, but like, I thought about it the other day, football, basketball on at the same time, like football winding down, everyone's getting excited about their basketball team. This is such a, like, November is fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like this is when we see the most activity amongst every fan base, because you have teams in football that aren't doing so well, and then you have teams, and then they're normally excited for their basketball team. So you have let's just be honest, Purdue this year in football. Nobody wants to talk about Purdue football, but Purdue is coming off winning the Big Ten 2 years in a row, trying to three-peat this year. So there's a lot of excitement there. So yeah, I really enjoy this time of year, and I think this is the most active fans are overall.
Yeah, it's a good time. I'm excited, man.
So Philip is actually saying 15 shots of whiskey a day. Philip, God bless your lungs, or not your lungs, your liver, whatever.
Yeah, that would be your liver. Yeah, but I mean, it'll keep the doctor away for a while. You'll be like feeling good about yourself, but then the doctor's going to come quick and often if you're taking 15 shots of whiskey a day.
Eventually, yes. Road Dust, appreciate you being here. He says, I use gameplay, makes me a little nervous. Should pancaked the team they played? Yeah, I mean, doesn't that happen with kind of every team, though, a little bit? Like, you set super high expectations for your team, and then, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't be too worried about it. I mean, there's definitely stuff that could be better, but, you know, I am here to bring some positivity tonight, I think, to IU fans. Some positivity.
Which they could, honestly, they could use it. With the year they're having with football and, like, their basketball team being so highly ranked. And
could you imagine if the football team won the Big Ten and the basketball team, like, finished, like, bottom half?
They would have to, like, I think X would, like, shut down, like, if that happened. The night that they won the Big Ten, I feel like In basketball, that is, after getting the football one too, if they actually got that, like, oh my God, it would break the internet, I think.
It would. Indiana fans would break it. All right, a couple more comments. Michael says, how do you feel about the endurance of the players across the board? I got to be honest, I'm more concerned about my endurance as a podcaster. I'm podcasting like 4 or 5 days a week right now. So I'm less concerned about the endurance of the players and more concerned about the endurance of me. Kent, how do you feel about the endurance of the players?
I have the players? Oh, I don't care about them. They're all
young.
Or
you. Yeah, you as a podcaster, that too.
Yeah. I'm definitely more concerned about me. Like, they're all in college. They're used to this. I'm getting old, man. I can't do this all the time. I can't stay up till 1 a.m. watching Washington just barely squeak out a win against UC Davis or whoever they played the other night.
That is a very underrated part about being casual Big Ten now. It's hard to be casual and staying up until 1 a.m. watching, you know, possibly the worst team in the Big Ten play.
Definitely, first of all, definitely the worst team in the Big Ten. But also, like, yes, it's getting difficult. It's getting difficult. Yeah.
But to answer your question, Michael, I honestly, like, I haven't seen too much. It's one of the, you know, very first game of the year. I mean, a lot of these players aren't even playing the full game because they get taken out kind of halfway through. So I haven't seen too many concerns. And a lot of these guys, they're just getting into, you know, I wouldn't say getting into shape for the season, but, you know, they're just starting the season. So I'm not too concerned about any of that. One more, Derek here. Thanks for being here, Derek. Says Ohio State made the right choice hiring Diebler. Agree or disagree, Kent?
That is such a great question for me to answer right now because I just got done. I'm going to do a little promo if you don't mind, JR. Just got done doing the Ohio podcast. I believe it's coming out tomorrow. And we went into, I'm not going to say we went into depth, but we talked about it for a great deal of time. Jake Diebler and what we think expectations should be and what we think is going to happen going forward. So go check out the Ohio podcast tomorrow, talking basketball and a lot of Jake Diebler. And to answer the question shortly, what do I think about what he just said? Yeah, I agree. I think they made the right choice.
I think so too. I think if nothing else, he's brought some excitement and, you know, stuff like that to the program. And definitely, I mean, he's doing really well on the recruiting trail. So if he can have a good season this year, couple that with the recruiting trail, it's going to look like a really good hire for Ohio State. So, all right, everybody, we appreciate you being here. We are going to start off by just talking about some pure takeaways from the beginning. We do have Michigan State playing right now, but let's just talk about the first games overall. Everybody has played one game other than Michigan State. They're playing a game right now. But other than that, everybody has only played one game. What has been your takeaways that you've seen? Give me at least one, and then we can just kind of go back and forth, Kent.
I'm going to do three quick ones. I'll promise I'll be fast. Michigan looked really good. I was very surprised how fast Dusty May got that team gelled together. I think they're already there, like, working together. And I know they played a bad team, but, like, whew, they look good. Northwestern, I always talk about, played without Brooks Barnheiser the other day and still got a huge blowout win. I think some of their young guys look really good. And I always know that they're going to play hard and play as a team. And they're going to be really good. And then what was going to be my third one? I forgot it already. Why don't you give me one, and I'm going to look up the scores again, and I'll tell you what my last one was. I forgot it.
Honestly, my biggest one is Wisconsin and them just absolutely changing everything about the identity of their team so far. They brought in Tanji and all these other guys, and you have Noah Winter starting now, John Blackwell, Max Klesmet, and they're out there. I mean, Klesmet shot 7 3-pointers, Tanji shot 6, Blackwell shot 4. Overall, this team shot 31 3-pointers, which is not like the weirdest thing in the world, but when you couple that with the fact that it's Wisconsin and that's not what they've always been, like, Greg Gard is talking about being a more efficient team. And so, I mean, I'm not like dogging it, I'm not saying I dislike it, but I mean, this is truly going to be a live by the three, die by the three team this year. They shot 31 3-pointers and 28 2-point field goals. That's a lot. I know Illinois shot, I think they shot like 50 3-pointers. I got to look it up really fast. Phillip would know.
In one game?
42. Illinois shot 42 3-pointers.
That's still a lot.
It's still a lot, but like, I expect that out of a Brad Underwood team, right? Like, I expect Brad to, like, you know, be gunning and playing as fast as he can. I mean, they shot 64 shots overall. So, shooting 42, but with 64 shots overall, like, that's still about the same as Wisconsin, but you're just playing at a faster pace and you're going and you're just trying to hit as many shots as you can. And also, they scored 112 points. Wisconsin only scored like 80-some. So for me, it's like, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Wisconsin this season.
Somebody, to go back to the Illinois thing real quick, somebody posted the shot chart from that game and it was all threes or layups. Like, there was no mid-range anything. It was just like a line around the three-point line of like heat, and then everything else was right next to the basket, like within 3 feet. Oh, I remember what my last one was going to be, and I already said it once, so I feel like I'm kind of beating a dead horse, but Washington's bad. I'm nervous about them.
I'm not nervous. I feel like they're bad, and they will be bad, and they will finish last.
Yeah.
So I
agree.
I think you're properly rated as the worst team in the Big Ten. So,
correct.
I mean, I do kind of feel bad for Osabor. Like, I do think Osabor is a really good player. He showed some really interesting things with his game, but yeah, I mean, it's not a good team. Wisconsin was kind of the same way. They had everything was in the key or behind the arc, other than three shots. Only three shots were that way. But like I said, like Wisconsin, like they're not running the floor as fast as I feel like Illinois is. Illinois had two shots outside the paint or inside the arc. But,
well, like, if you just take their players, even, like, I know Illinois has a couple of new faces, so it's hard to say you have a lot of confidence in these guys, and maybe they just had a good night. But if I'm just looking at the rosters, I think of those two teams, I want Illinois shooting more threes. And Wisconsin, it's like, I don't know. Like, if somebody's hot, yeah, like, we've seen it from Max before. Like, he gets super hot and you want him shooting from anywhere inside the gym. But it's not like he's the most reliable and consistent shooter, I feel like. And maybe I'm off with that on his stats, but just based on watching him,
yeah,
I don't feel really comfortable every game going in and saying, like, this guy's going to hit four threes. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there. Going back to Illinois for a second, Will Riley and Dre Gibbs Longhorn, those guys off the bench together scored 52 points. Again, I know Illinois scored 112 points, so when you look at the percentage of it all, it's still less than 50%. But if you got two guys coming off the bench scoring nearly 50% of your team's points, good.
I don't know about the other guy, but I don't know. I don't think Riley's going to be coming off the bench for much longer. I think he's a starter.
I said Longhorn. I apologize. Lawhorn. Okay. No, I don't think he's going to be coming off the bench much longer either. I don't know who he replaces, though, because it's not like there was anybody like Trey White. I get. Yeah, he had a pretty bad game from stats. I'm not remembering. Maybe Phillip can let me know what he thinks. But I mean, he could maybe start for Trey White. I don't know. But yeah, Brad Underwood has a puzzle to figure out here with this rotation and the starting players. And it's a good puzzle to figure out. It's not a bad puzzle. There's other teams that have a puzzle to figure out, and it's bad. But
well, Ty Rogers helped him figure part of the puzzle out.
That's what I was going to say. What do you think of Ty Rogers?
Like, he already put that piece off the table. He was like, yeah, I'm not playing. So, okay. That's one less guy you got to work into the rotation, I guess.
Oh, Phillip makes a good point. Riley's going to be coming off the bench until he figures out his defense. Yeah, I don't really know if there's any super strong defenders on this team, though, from what I saw. I mean, they defended well against Eastern Illinois. I'm not trying to take that away, but who'd they play in their scrimmage? I'm getting all mixed up now.
I don't remember.
Ole Miss. When they played Ole Miss in their scrimmage, Ole Miss just went crazy on them. So, which is not always indicative of who a team is. They'll obviously improve. But, yeah, if Will Riley can get his defense right, look out. He's going to be playing a lot of minutes and doing a lot of
good
stuff. Any other takeaways, Kent?
Yeah, like, I think that overall, like, as a conference, you know, there was a lot of talk, especially leading up towards the end of the offseason, about how KenPom had every team rated so closely and predicted to have, like, such a similar schedule. And I think that that's still fair. I think that there are a lot of teams that are similar in talent. But from what I watched, and maybe it was just because we were playing such bad teams this first game, but I feel like overall as a conference, we're all good. Like, everyone's like super talented. It's like, this is going to be such a fun conference to watch throughout the whole year. There's so many talented teams, even the like teams that'll end up finishing mid, like from 7 to, you know, 12 are going to be really strong teams that can beat you any night of the year. So I was just my takeaway, I guess, in the long way of what I'm saying is that I'm kind of have an elevated feeling about how talented the conference is overall.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that it's much easier to figure out what teams are competing for the top rather than trying to figure out what teams are at the bottom, right?
Yeah.
I think most people can realize that, you know, you're probably looking at Washington as a bottom of the barrel team. You're probably looking at, Wisconsin has the opportunity to be better, but this experiment could go really bad really fast. I'm not saying it will. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying this is a situation where Greg Gard is taking a rather big leap of faith here. I mean, if they shoot 5 for 30 from behind the arc in one of these games against one of these worst teams, like they could lose to one of these worst teams. Heck, they were really close with Holy Cross. In fact, they were losing at halftime against Holy Cross in that one. They finally started shooting some more layups and stuff, which helped them out. But USC, they're kind of down there as well. They didn't look super impressive in their first one. And then, yeah, I mean, like those are the only teams I can really say are like
I still
down
think
at the bottom.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I didn't
no,
mean
go
that,
ahead.
But I still am really low on Nebraska. Like, I'm just not in love with them.
Yeah.
And some people have tried to talk me out of that. I have a good friend who's a big Nebraska fan, and he was like, no, we're going to be good this year. And I was like, are you? I don't know. I'm just not sure. I got to see them play one more time before I can really be confident about it. But like, I definitely put them in that conversation of teams that could miss the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah. I'll have more thoughts on Nebraska when we get to their, confidence or panic. I think Nebraska fans are confident, but if I'm being a realist and looking at it, I have some thoughts. We'll get there.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get there. And then, of course, I don't think we can move on without mentioning Ohio State's huge win over Texas. I am I'm raising my hand right now. I screwed up saying that Ohio State would be a disappointment this season. They very well could still be a disappointment. I'm not saying they won't be, but the percentage chances of that happening is not nearly as high as I thought they were. Jake Diebler has put together a really good team. He had those guys looking completely different from the Chris Holtmann teams I've seen in the past. And Jake Diebler, talked about it a little bit there at the beginning, but that's a huge win for Ohio State, not just for like the program, but for the season, for those players, for Jake Diebler. That was huge. Any thoughts on that?
No, it's the only game that I thought a Big Ten team had a potential of losing that first one. And they won it. And it's a, you know, preseason rankings, whatever, like you don't take a lot into what teams are ranked going into the first game of the year, but it's still a ranked win. If you're, which you are, you're an Ohio State fan, like you want Texas to be great the rest of the year so that that win looks even better throughout the season. Because like you said, I think the chances of them being bad are less than the chances of them being good. I think that they're still going to be good, but because I just said the whole conference is very talented. If it comes down to a situation where we need to look at their resume at the end of the year, you want that Texas win to be as great as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. They were without, what's his name? Marks, I think is his last name. So I do have a little bit of question there, but overall, just the way the team played, if I'm just looking at how the team played and how they meshed together, their starting front court basically gave them nothing, and they had guys come off the bench and provide and be productive. And the backcourt, I went into the season thinking this could be one of the best backcourts in the country, you know, if they play up to their potential. And I feel even better about that, because in a game where Michi Johnson struggles, Junie Mobley, oh my word, he was fantastic. Bruce Thornton, Quez Glover struggled, but Micah Parrish was fantastic. So yeah. All right, let's move on. Kent, a lot of good comments, everybody. Unfortunately, I can't follow along with everyone when I'm trying to talk, but if I see something, I'll bring it up while we're talking. Kent, let's real fast. Okay, I think this is a fun little exercise to try. Let's predict who is going to have the best stats in 7 different areas in the Big Ten this season. We're looking at points per game, field goal percentage, 3-point percentage, opponent's points per game, rebounds per game, blocks per game, and personal fouls. Now, I went with the highest opponent's points per game. So whichever team will give up the most opponent's points per game, and then the most rebounds per game, most blocks per game, and then who will have the most personal fouls per game. If you're watching on YouTube, on the graphic, these are the teams after each team has played one game this season. These are the teams who allowed the most or produced the most this season, if that makes sense. So Oregon gave up 76 points. That's not the lowest. That would be Northwestern, I believe, who gave up 46. Oregon gave up the most out of anybody in their opening game. So that's why I have them there and not Northwestern, because they gave up the lowest. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right. So, Kent, my question to you is, what team in the Big Ten will have the most points per game this season?
Man.
I feel like there's two options here.
Yeah. And I feel like they're both on the screen right now. I'll stick with Illinois. I think that the way that they play, the pace of play, and the amount of athleticism that they have, and you know, I just the way that, like I just said, the way that they play, the way they get up and down, I think that Illinois is going to have the most opportunities to have the most possessions per game, so de facto they're probably going to score the most points, and maybe they don't have the strongest defensive team either, so it might be low, it'll be quick possessions for the other team possibly as well, so they'll have the ball right back in their hands. And again, that means more possessions for them. So I'll go with Illinois.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Illinois as well. The pace that they played with, I think that, you know, they are going to have some defensive struggles as the year goes on. So they're going to have to be able to figure that out. And while they're doing that, I think that they're just going to try and run as fast as they can, put themselves in as much transition as they possibly can. And they're going to shoot a bunch of threes and get down in the paint as much as possible. And I think this team has a lot of really good shooters on the team. There will be some games here and there, you know, where they, you know, don't score very much because of bad three-point shooting and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, like, they are going to stay with teams with their offense purely because of that. So yeah, Phillip, you're right. Illinois versus Alabama, that's gonna be one of the highest scoring games of the year. That one, if you like points, you're gonna want to tune in for that one.
Absolutely.
All right, let's stick with offense here. Field goal percentage, Kent, why don't you go first on this one, and then I'll go first on three-point percentage.
Okay, I'm going to go on the field goal percentage. I will take Purdue on this one. Okay. I think that, again, and this is all just based on vibes, basically, and their styles of play, but watching the way that Coach Painter makes his guys run offense, they don't take a lot of bad shots. Everything's high percentage. So, and we're talking about field goal percentage, so I'm taking Purdue on this one. And they, by the way, have some pretty good shooters as well. And they got a guy that's 7'3". He's going to be next to the basket a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to go with Michigan. I'm going to continue to go chalk with what we already have. I just think Michigan with 2 7-footers down low. I was a little concerned with their physicality going into the season. I noticed it in the game against Toledo. Dusty May mentioned it in his press conference afterward. But I felt like Cleveland State came into the game wanting to hit him in the mouth, and they did a few times. But I think Michigan adjusted well, and they got out in transition really well with those 2 7-footers on the floor. And even with them off the floor, they can obviously go in transition without them as well. But I think this is a team that's going to be set up to be very efficient, scoring often. I don't think they're going to be the fastest team, so that's why I'm not choosing them to have the most points per game. But I think they're going to be a team, if they get into a set down the court, they're going to be one of those teams that's pretty likely to score off of that. And also, I think Trey Donaldson was running the offense very well against Cleveland State. So, you know, I'm higher on Michigan now after their game.
Yeah, I definitely am higher on Michigan after their game. I'm with you on that. I just felt like watching that game, you're right about the 7-footers. Those shots are always going to be there. The guard play, though, I felt like was just kind of a special night for them. Like, they were shooting it really good, and I'm not expecting it. Obviously, I'm not expecting it to stay that good the rest of the year. I mean, 68%, that's pretty ridiculous for a whole season, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be improved, obviously, than last year, but I'm not expecting them to hit that many threes and to make that many outside shots as they made in the opening night.
Yeah, no, I think that's I think that makes sense. Moving on to 3-point percentage, Minnesota currently leads. They shot 61.1% in their game against Oral Roberts, I think it was. I am actually going to go with Ohio State in this one. I think that Ohio State was very impressive the way they shot the ball against Texas. They cooled off a little bit in the second half, but they were shooting really, really well. Another team, kind of honorable mention in this one, is Purdue. I think Fletcher Loyer is going to have a good year this year shooting the ball. Miles Colvin went 4-for-4 in the first half. If he can consistently do that, I think he went like 0-for-3 in the second half, but if he can consistently shoot that way, Braden Smith, I mean, he's going to drain him. That's just who he is. So those two teams, I think, are my two contenders for that, but I'll give the edge to Ohio State. Your thoughts, Kent?
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at just the first game alone, like some of the higher percentage teams didn't shoot that many threes. Like the teams that you just mentioned did. Ohio State did. You know, Purdue did. They both had over 25 threes in their first game. So it's like Minnesota, they shot 18, right? So it's like,
right.
Yeah, that's a high percentage, but they didn't shoot that many. Eventually, they're going to have to start putting up some more shots, and I'm expecting their percentage to probably go down. I will go with my heart's telling me Purdue, but I already said them once, so I'll just take a wild guess here. I'm thinking about Wild because I'm going to take Northwestern. Wildcats. Why not them? You know, Ty Berry's back. I think that Leach is a pretty good shooter, so I think that they'll have some from him. And even their bigs like Barnheiser can step out and hit a three. I don't know about Nicholson. I can't remember if he's ever even shot a three. But, like, I feel like they have good shooters. And, again, like, coached really well, so they take high percentage shots. They shoot threes when they're open. So I'll go with Northwestern on this one just to be different.
Yeah, I mean, they were number four out of the first games at 45%. So, yeah, they shot really well. So, and Chris Collins, we know that he can scheme some stuff up on the offensive end. I think a lot of people give credit to Boo Booey for that, which obviously Boo Booey gets a lot of credit. He's a very good player. But I think Chris Collins and what he was able to do helped with that a lot, too. All right, let's move on to which team will give up the most points per game this season. And Kent, I gotta be honest, even though Oregon gave up 76, I don't think they're gonna be it. It's kind of crazy. Oregon gave up the most at 76. Purdue gave up the second most with 73. Ohio State, the only team that played a ranked team, gave up the fourth most with 72. Washington gave up the third most with 73, and that's going to be my team. I think Great Osabor is a good shot blocker and a good defender, but he's not going to be able to do it all by himself. I think teams are going to feast on Washington this season, and they'll probably be giving up more than 70 points at the end of the season per game.
I was going to say Washington, but again, I don't want to pick the same thing as you, and I want to talk about different teams throughout the conference. So I'll go with – I'll call this kind of a chalk pick just based on what they've been – the last couple of years. I'll take Iowa giving up the most points. I think they're going to be a little bit more improved defensively this year, but just to be, like I said, just to be a little bit different in like the history of what Iowa has been in high scoring games and giving up a lot of points, I'll take Iowa on this one. Yeah. Where were they at for the first game? I don't know what they gave up.
They gave up 67, which was sixth most.
Okay. So not, so like, I'm not too far off then. It's not like I'm picking some crazy low team for the first
tied
game.
Tied with Illinois.
There you go.
I guess that would be fifth most then if they're tied. Yeah, Nebraska was tied as well. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Iowa definitely a good pick for that, though. All right, let's move on to the rebounds per game. Looking at rebounds per game, the team that had the most rebounds, which, shocker, the team that put up the most shots by far was Illinois with 58 rebounds. Maryland had 54, helped by Derek Queen and his 20 rebounds he had in that game.
He's so Phillip, good.
I got news for you. If Derek Queen plays like that, Willard's not going anywhere anytime soon. This might be a Billy Napier situation where they keep him around just to keep Derek Queen around. Because that's what
Dude,
they're doing in Florida.
This kid is going to save his job single-handedly. Just all
that's what
by
they're
himself.
Doing in Florida, man. They're like, hey, we can't lose DJ Lagway, dude. He's so good. Keep Napier around, and that's what they're going to do in Maryland. They're like, dude, we can't fire this guy. We got to keep Derek Queen around. So,
I hate to see it. By the way, hate to see it. Willard, I mean, I love to see Derek Queen be great.
No, but I love it, man. I think he was fantastic.
Yeah. So. I just hate to see Willard staying around any longer.
John says Willard Eden is going to be full effect when Derek Queen has a bad game.
For sure.
Man.
For
this podcast
sure.
Hates Kevin Willard so much.
Yeah.
foul. Yep. Well, Kent, we can't hate him too much. He did have 54 rebounds in their game. Michigan State in their first game had 48 rebounds. Who would you go with the most rebounds per game?
Man, I was about to pick a team that's like near the bottom for the first game, but you know what? I'm just going to pick them. This is going to be like a crazy, like I'll throw it in the dark, but I'll go with Michigan. I'll go with the team that you just talked about at the beginning for the field goal percentage for the same reasons. They're going to have 2 7-footers out there playing heavy minutes. And in a game where, you know, their rebounds were low. Let's remind everybody, they shot the highest percentage on offense from field goal. So there wasn't a lot of opportunities for offensive rebounds. And I think once Big Ten play starts and the games start to slow down a little bit and they're more of a grind, that's where the two big guys from Michigan are going to show up, and they will their rebounding numbers will start going up, I think. So I'll take Michigan on this one.
Yeah, I think Michigan's a good pick. My only problem is I don't know if they're going to be shooting enough for that to happen. I think that, you know, teams are going to have to shoot a lot, like Illinois. Like, do I think Illinois is one of the best rebounding teams in the Big Ten? I mean, they're obviously good at it. They had 58 this last game, but I think a lot of that was because of the pace of play they played with and how that impacted the team they were playing. Who was it? Eastern Illinois, and how many shots they were getting up as well. So I'm tempted to pick Illinois, but I don't want to go chalk again. So if I'm actually going to pick another team, it's actually going to be probably be Oregon. I feel like Oregon is another team who kind of got up a lot of shots and was kind of running fast, and they had some good rebounding down low, and they might struggle in the Big Ten, so that is kind of a hot take, I feel like. I don't know how their bigs are going to do in there, but this could be a team that, you know, Dana Altman, I mean, he's a good coach. He's going to get his guys battling down low. If somebody's a bad coach, I'm not going to pick them for most rebounds per game. So, but we'll see. We'll see. Illinois, definitely a strong choice, and your choice as well. So Michigan.
That's it. That's interesting, because as you were saying that, I was like, I don't know how much it matters how many shots they get up, but you're absolutely right. I just went back to last year's numbers, and Illinois led last year.
Oh, did they really? Okay.
Which is insane, considering Purdue existed, and they were up. They were like a half point ahead of Purdue last year for rebounds per game.
Yeah, but Purdue got it because Edie was just gobbling.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. But they still beat Purdue, though.
Yeah,
they had a half point or a half rebound more, I should say, than Purdue even last year. So yeah, I think Illinois was probably the right choice. Even though you didn't want to go chalk, like that's probably the team that's going to be in the lead at the end.
It's funny. The top two teams last year were Illinois and Purdue, and then it was all bad after that.
Yeah.
Nebraska wasn't bad. I have no. Rutgers, Ohio State, Maryland, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota. Like, I love some of those teams, Ohio State and Minnesota, but like, let's be honest, they were, you know, they weren't top tier teams in the Big Ten last year. Ohio podcast, 3-point percentage, Ohio State. Yeah, did you guys see him shooting in that one? Are you asking if that's what I said, or are you questioning my choice there?
Junie he probably thinks you chose Minnesota if he's getting on late. But no, JR picked Ohio State, though.
No, yeah, I picked. No, Eric, these are the leaders right now. These are not our picks. These are the leaders right now. Yeah. Thanks, Kent. I wasn't sure. All right. Let's move on to blocks per game. Now, Illinois is not the leader, but Merez Johnson did have 6 blocks. In that game, that was crazy, man. How many blocks he had in that one. I was actually leading with the most blocks per game. That was really interesting to see from them. I was still in the last year. I was like, why am I at Rutgers? And then UCLA, Maryland, Illinois had 9 blocks overall. Kent, who do you think is going to have the most blocks per game this season?
I was going to say Iowa before I even clicked on the stats right here. So I'll stick with that, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's – I'm going to go double chalk right here. I'm going to go with UCLA as, like, my backup pick, and I'm going to say that just because I haven't picked UCLA to be ahead in any of these categories, and I really like UCLA. So I'm going to kind of pick them as my backup pick, and also just, like, a really good defensive team. I think Mick Cronin's a really great coach, so I think that defense will turn into some blocks, and they'll be near the top of the conference, if not the top, at the end of the year.
Yeah. Illinois, definitely a good pick for that. And UCLA, I really like that pick because I was actually going to pick UCLA. I feel like they were running faster in that one, so the other team's going to get more shots up. And Mick Cronin, his defensive prowess combined with the running and stuff like that, I think it's going to be a good combination for UCLA. So I'm going to go with them in that one as well. All right, finally, Kent, personal fouls. Which team will have the most personal fouls? Illinois currently leads with 21. Right behind them, Washington, Ohio State, Northwestern, and then USC. I'll go first in this one. I think it's going to be Washington. I don't think they're disciplined. I think their big men are going to be trying too hard. I think Illinois was just on defense so many times, and that will probably affect things. But I think Illinois' defense is going to get better throughout the year. I am not confident anything with Washington will get better throughout the year.
Yeah, and I tried to talk about different teams as much as I could, but I can't go against you on this one. It's Washington for sure.
Yeah,
I think that this is going to be a landslide. I think by the end of the year they're going to be up by like 50 plus on the personal fouls. That's my prediction.
Phillip says Rutgers will have a lot of fouls because they are young. I forget how many did Harper have.
I don't know about that though, because I don't know.
Bailey didn't play because he was hurt. So we didn't get to see that very much.
No, and I understand. I do. I usually agree with Phillip. I do. I like to agree with Phillip. He's one of my favorite people on here. But I watched Dylan Harper's that whole game, and he looked more mature than some of the juniors and seniors that I was watching the other night. Like, this is a young kid, but he is a very high IQ basketball player. He's not going to make dumb plays. And he's not going to take dumb fouls. So I don't know about Ace because I didn't get to see him play a college game yet. But Dylan, for sure, I don't think is going to have any problems getting in foul trouble. I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, he's young, but he's small. He's not going to be down in the paint and stuff like that too much. I actually do agree with the sentiment if he's talking about Ogboli, the center for them. He's only a sophomore. Okay. He's from Nigeria, or he's a junior. He redshirted 1 year. I apologize. He's from Nigeria. I was actually reading up on him a little bit. The other day. He is still learning the game of basketball quite a bit. He had 3 fouls against St. Peter's, so he's definitely that somebody who could have some more. Who knows? We'll see. Bailey play first.
Yeah, I was just going to clarify too, like. You said that Dylan Harper is small, and I think what you were saying is that he plays a small position, like he's at guard. Yes. Dude has a – I just found this out the other night just by watching the game. 6'10 wingspan?
Yeah, he's 6'6 and has a 6'10 wingspan.
That is insane. Like, I couldn't believe – because I didn't watch a ton of high school film on Dylan, like, at all. I watched a bunch on Ace because he's, like, such an exciting player to watch, like, highlights of. But – For Dylan, I didn't watch as much. And when I was watching him play, I was like, man, this guy is big on the court. Yeah. Like, he plays big. Like, he's really good.
Yeah. So his size and his speed combined makes him, yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. Because, yeah, I did say that. And I definitely would have got blasted in the comments. I might still get blasted in the comments.
Yeah, no, I won't let that happen.
I appreciate that. John says Dylan went 1-for-6 from the line. Was the biggest surprise for me. What's that about? I mean, freshman, first game. I'm not gonna be too concerned about it. I don't know all of his numbers from high school, but I don't remember anybody talking about him being a poor free throw shooter or anything like that. So,
no.
I mean, I would be more concerned if like something was happening late in the game and he was missing a bunch or something like that. I mean, this game was never tight between Wagner and Rutgers, and so
yeah,
you know. But, yeah, I mean, definitely something to watch. 1-for-6 in his first game should definitely be better than that. So, especially if he's 6'6 and he's going to be going out the basket as much as he is.
Yeah, so. And I would just say to John, like, if there was one thing that I could pick that I would want to be concerned about, it would be free throw shooting because that's the easiest thing to fix.
True.
So
that's true. Pikel can just tell him to go in there and shoot free throws all day long.
Yeah, like, stop shooting it the way you're doing it. Here's how you shoot it better. Fix it.
Yeah, he said it's not great. Osabor shooting 7-for-16 from the line, but still, yeah, Osabor is Shaq from the line. I tell you, John is our free throw expert here.
I love it.
Appreciate you, John.
I know that's something I'm definitely, and that's what we need this year too, because people aren't going to be locked in on the free throw line as much now that Edie's gone.
That's like, true.
We need someone that's locked in on the free throw line, and I'm glad John's here for us.
Real fast, before we move on, Kent, do you know which team committed the least amount of personal fouls in their first game? It was the only team that committed less than 10 personal fouls.
I have it pulled up, and I'm not going to look at it. I'm actually looking at a different screen right now just because I don't want to cheat. I'm going to guess Minnesota.
No. Who did everybody complain about last year?
Oh, Purdue.
Yeah.
That makes sense that you brought that up right now. I should have thought of that.
They had 7 personal fouls.
That's crazy. Minnesota pretty low, by the way. They only had 13. That wasn't a bad guess.
Second last. So, yeah, good for them. Or I guess third last. I don't know how tiebreakers work. So, all right, everybody. We will be – oh, what did OHL Podcast say? Hey, JR, what's your score prediction for Ohio State versus Purdue this Saturday? I'm making the graphic. Oh, I forgot what I said. Let me do the commercial, and then I'll come back, and I'll say it. I have to look it up really fast. All right, everybody. We're going to hit a commercial. We'll be right back. CBB Analytics isn't just another stat site. It's your ultimate destination for in-depth college basketball analysis used by fans and even the coaches. It has comprehensive stats for men's and women's basketball across Division 1 through 3 dating all the way back to 2018. From shooting percentage to game recap, CBB Analytics has it all. Try CBB Analytics for free or pay for a tier to take your basketball knowledge to the next level. The next level, as I find the next level of my notes. 48-6, Ohio State, Eric. 48-6. I'm not picking Purdue. However, last week I picked Penn State to win, and they won. So maybe I should have picked against Ohio State. If Purdue wins, I'm going to be super mad. Not just because of that, for other reasons as well. Hey, everybody, if you're watching, please do like and subscribe. We appreciate it. Helps other people see the channel, see all the stuff. So we definitely appreciate it if you would consider doing that really quick. Doesn't take long to do. All right, Kent, we're going to have to get through this kind of quick. So we're going to do confidence level meter. I got to change the graphic really fast. We're going to do confidence level meter / panic level meter for every team in the Big Ten based only on their first game. So Michigan State is played tonight. Wisconsin is playing. All those teams. We're not thinking about those. We're just going off the first game. What did they look like? How did they play? Even if they blew a team out, maybe you have concerns about point guard. Maybe you have concerns about this, that, and the other. Or maybe even if it was close, you were like, I love the resilience of this team, yada, yada, yada. Nobody's saying that about Washington, but it's all good. We are going to figure out each and every team. So Kent, let's start with the games that were played on Monday. Let's start it with everybody's favorite, Maryland 79, Manhattan 49. I'm actually going to give Maryland a 4 in this one. With Derek Queen being as good as he was, that was really interesting to me. They kind of struggled there at the beginning, but they were doing all the dirty work. They out-rebounded Manhattan by a lot, which they should do, but still they were doing kind of the dirty work, and then they pulled ahead in the second half. So for me, a team coming off of not having I keep forgetting his name, the point guard from last year that just basically scored every single point for him.
Jameer Young,
thank you. And this year trying to institute Derek Queen, trying to get those players to play together, Julian Reese and Derek Queen. I thought it was a good performance. Little shaky at one part, but I thought it was overall encouraging for Maryland fans. What do you think?
I'm going to stick with a 3. Like, I thought that they did what they were supposed to do, and I wasn't overly excited about it. The only person that I was really, like, Derek Queen was the only guy that I was like, all right, well, he's a little bit better than I thought he was going to be, and I'm not 100% sure that that's going to keep up through the season. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I hope that it does. I'm going to be cheering for him. He's a really fun player to watch, but there's also the realistic chance that he's a freshman and he's not going to be that every single game. So if he's not, they go back to the old Maryland. And I'm just not super confident with their coaching. I'm not super confident with the rest of their players. So I'll be neutral because I was excited about that one player. But the rest of it, I'm just like, I'll get excited when it's time to get excited for that. I'm neutral with it.
Makes sense. I can't argue too much with that. All right, next game, Purdue 90, Texas A&M, Corpus Christi 73. Now, this was a blowout, but with like 5 minutes left in the game, it was a 3-point game. Texas Corpus Christi was playing really well there toward the end. Purdue pulls it out. They win by nearly 20 points in this one. Kent, I'm actually going to give Purdue a three. And my thought process is, like, I was confident they were going to play near the top of the Big Ten this year. I don't feel more confident that they will, but I also am not, like, panicking that they won't, because I think the big three of Braden Smith, Fletcher Lawyer, and TKR are good. I have some concerns about the five, but I think I already had those concerns going into the season. Miles Colvin goes 4-for-4 in the first half, shooting from 3-point. I feel good about that. But then 0-for-3 in the second half, what's Cam Heidi doing? So I'm kind of going back and forth. There's things I like, there's things I don't like. So I'm kind of going back and forth. So I give him a 3. What do you think?
I'm at a 3 as well with them. But if we were just talking about this one game, I would probably be at a 2. The reason why I'm at a 3 is because it's Purdue, and I know what Purdue is going to be. I know how they're going to come together as a team. So based on what I know about Purdue and what they're going to be and what I know about these players and how good I think that they're going to be, I'm confident about that. I'm a little bit panicking about what happened the other night. So put those two things together, and I meet right in the middle at a 3 with you.
Very good. Let's move on to Monmouth and Michigan State. I know their game is already almost over, if it's not over already. Wait, is there 8 minutes left in that game?
I think they pulled away. Like, it was close there for a minute.
Yeah, they're winning by 20 now, though. Yeah. All right. Did the Iowa game finish before them? That's crazy. All right, so Jaden Akins in this one, he scores 23 points, 9 rebounds. That was one of my biggest concerns going into the season. I felt good about Jace Richardson and how he was playing, but Jaden Akins was not playing the level of basketball he needs to be playing. I'm already concerned about the front court for Michigan State. I was concerned about it from the beginning, so I'm not really panicking about it because I already knew it was going to be a concern. But for no other reason other than Jaden Akins is actually playing like the senior leader you want him to play as and playing like the player you need him to be for this team to compete in the Big Ten this year. I don't know if they're going to compete for a Big Ten title. There seems to be a lot of other people who are more confident in that than me. I don't think you can compete for a Big Ten title when your front court is as bad as theirs has been, and I think that it probably will be this season. But overall, I'm going to go with a 4 just because of Jaden Akins and Jace Richardson, and I like that Izzo is putting Jace Richardson as their backup ball handler. I like that he's doing that. He's not trying to force Akins and Richardson, you know, swapping in and out. I think that was a good move by Izzo.
Yeah, I'm at a 4 with them too because I've had a lot of confidence in them coming into the season, and nothing really gave me cause for concern in the first game. And I'll be really transparent. I've been watching their entire game tonight against Niagara, so I've been seeing some other things from like Richardson and even Fears, I feel like, is tonight especially kind of controlling the offense. So I'm at a 4 with them. I'm pretty confident with Michigan State.
Yeah. He did much better in the first half than he did in the last game. I don't even know if he played bad in the last game, but he was controlling the offense better, like you said. So,
yeah.
And Trey Holloman. Yeah, I think my biggest concern for Michigan State right now is Frankie Fiddler. What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, you know, you already knew that from me because I texted you right before the game. So right. You already know how I feel about him. But yeah, I wasn't really sold on him coming in as a transfer. I'll be honest. I think it was Locked On Spartans to talk about him, and I said it on his show. I was like, I'm not in love with this transfer, this get for you guys. Like, he's okay, but like, he's not going to come in and light the Big Ten on fire or anything. So, yeah, I have some concerns about him. I don't think he's as good as Michigan State fans want him to be. But the good thing is, they have a lot of other pieces, and I think that they're going to be fine anyways, even if he's not great.
Yeah, I think you would have wanted to get somebody who could play the 4 more, or somebody that could play the 5 if you wanted to go small. But Frankie Fiddler, I mean, I think he can play the 4. He did play the 4 a little bit, but in the Big Ten, he's not a guy that you can put in at the 5 in a small ball lineup.
No. So. Nope. Not at all.
All right, moving on from there. Philip agreed with us, Purdue 3. And then, of course, John, Iowa just allowed 74 points. Hey, you know what? That's better. Iowa's defense is getting better this season, I feel like.
Is that good for them against a team like that?
They were letting up like 80 points last year to some of these teams at the beginning of the year. So
did they? I don't remember that. But I remember them doing it against Big Ten teams.
Well, yeah, they did against Big Ten teams. Maybe I still got the thought process of Big
Ten. I mean, they're playing Southern right now. I don't even know who that is.
You know what, Kent? Fran McCaffrey wrote a book on defense, so you can critique the man when you wrote a book on defense.
Is that true?
Somebody told me that. I've never seen it.
Oh, my God. I'm looking that up right now. That will be in my Amazon cart purchased before this show is over, if that's true.
I think it was Shaps, actually, that told me, so maybe text Shaps.
Okay, I will.
All right. Let's move on to Penn State and Binghamton. I always want to say Birmingham. Binghamton. I always got to say it like that. Penn State wins this one 108-66. I got to tell you, Kent, I'm feeling way better about this Penn State team. I'm at a 4. I was kind of, you know, thinking they'd be a bottom of the barrel team this season. I still don't think they're going to be a top half of the conference team, but I'm feeling better about it than I was because guess what? They got a 5. This Yannick dude, who's 7 foot, he put up 16 points. I really like Dunn and Kern coming off the bench together. I feel like this team has more depth this season than what we've seen in the past. So, I mean, I know it's one game, but for me, 108 points from Penn State, I'm feeling pretty good about it. I'm going to give them a 4.
Yeah, I have to do the exact same thing that I did with Purdue. I'm confident. It's the opposite, though. Like, I'm confident in them after this first game, but I was panicking entering the season. So, again, I got to meet in the middle and say that that's a 3. But, yeah, just based on this one game, I kind of wrote down, like, before we started, like, my confidence level based on going into the season and didn't have the just for this game thing ready. So, sorry about that. But, yeah,
you're good.
4 for this game. I'm still not, you know, I'm looking at all these teams, and you have to take some of these games with a grain of salt and look at them and say, well, that team that I just watched, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Purdue, they're going to be playing teams like Penn State. Like, how many wins do I really think Penn State's still going to get in this conference? I'm not too confident about it. But just based on that one game, yeah, feeling better about them for sure.
I was going to say, maybe don't look at the win total. Just look at the conference overall in the standings. Do you feel like Penn State is more of a middle of the half, like middle of the conference team or last place team in the conference after watching this game?
Oh yeah. They're definitely more of a middle of the pack team. Yeah. Like after this game for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I went with it. So yeah. I know you said a 4-2. It's just like, that was kind of my whole thought process. Phillip says, watch out. Penn State could be on the bubble. Sneak into it. There you go. John brought it up. Building a championship.
I have it right now. I just found it. Oh, I found the DVD. The DVD is $40. Are you joking?
Listen, if you want a championship defense, Kent, you got to pay.
Wait. I can't find the book, though.
Maybe it's only a DVD. Maybe they got rid of the book.
That is hilarious. Maybe I will buy the DVD. I should just buy the DVD and rip it and put it on YouTube for everyone to like come watch.
There you go. We'll link it in every episode if you want to learn how to build a championship. We're giving out free
resources. The thing is, he probably does have some like decent stuff in there for like youth coaches.
I mean, yeah, he's a college basketball coach. Like, yeah. Obviously, he knows how to coach defense. It's just funny that his reputation lasts like his entire time. We've been doing this podcast is the team has no defense and they're all offense, and then.
Oh my God. I'm tweeting this right now. I can't. This is why I do shows like this, so I can learn stuff like this.
There you go.
This just made my whole night right now. I'm so happy.
John did that for you. Good job, John.
I appreciate it, John. John, make sure you comment on or reply on Twitter so I can tag you in it or whatever.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the next one, Kent. Michigan 101, Cleveland State 53. I'll let you go first on this one.
Oh, 5. Like, based on, like, I already, like, kind of liked Michigan going into the season, but based on what I saw, it's a completely different team. I put out that on Twitter, like, during the game, I think Michigan was up by, like, 25 or something in the second half with, like, 12 minutes to go, and I said, if you let Juwan Howard take over this game right now, the lead will be cut to 8 by the 7-minute mark or something along those lines. It was something like that. But, like, it's just a completely different team. Everybody's playing differently. The ball was moving. Like, it just I couldn't believe it, actually, because I was kind of brainwashed on how bad they were from last year and looked great. Roddy Gale looked great. You already mentioned Trey Donaldson, I think, earlier on in the show. Like
I did, yep.
So good. So good. They have a freshman named Kaysen. He was really good. So, like, yeah, I thought that they looked great. That, and I'm talking a little bit more about them because I think this is the game that I saw the most of just based on what was happening this week for me. This one and then USC were the two games I watched the most of. And, yeah, just I'm max confidence with them after this game.
I wrestled between a 4 and a 5, and maybe it's my Ohio State bias, which I'm sure it is. So I'm going to go with a 4, though I felt really confident with Danny Wolf after this one. I felt good about Trey Donaldson, Roddy Gale. I felt like I had a good game. However, 0-for-3 from the free throw line. So, you know, I'm surprised John didn't mention that one for us. Just kidding, John. But Trey Donaldson was 6-for-6 from the free throw line. So, but yeah, there was a lot of really good stuff. I don't know why Dusty May has Namari Burnett starting. I don't get it. I think you would put Will Cheddar in there, or I mean almost literally anybody else. Fat Brooks, somebody. I don't know why Namari Burnett is in there. I don't like Namari Burnett in the starting lineup for Michigan. And then Vlad Golden, only 2 points, 2 rebounds in 21 minutes. I don't know. I mean,
he didn't look that great.
That was weird, yeah.
So. But as bad as he looked though, what is it? Wolf looked just as good as how bad, like, or not. I don't.
Oh yeah,
I shouldn't
Wolf
say
was
Golden.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he was unreal. So yeah. Like, I think it kind of washes out. Like, maybe there'll be a game where like Wolf's playing bad, and that's the one that Golden steps up in. But it felt like it was a big moment for Golden to like kind of make like an announcement, like, "Hey, I'm in the Big Ten now. Look, I can still be good," and he didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was definitely, I mean, there's literally at one point where I was like, is he hurt or something? I don't really see him playing all that much. And he was actually in the game. He just wasn't doing anything. So, yeah. I mean, he's a good player. He'll adjust, but I don't know. It was kind of weird. So,
yeah. So did you say a 4 on that then?
Yeah, 4. 4.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one, Illinois, 112, Eastern Illinois, 67. I mean, this is my 5 right here. This is my 5. When you got guys just playing out of their mind on offense on this one, I feel like I could name literally everybody who played except for Trey White at this point. Like, guys just went out of their minds. It was a really good game. Obviously, the defense is still something we need to see against some of the better teams and stuff like that. But Phillip says Illinois 6.
I just saw that.
I'm happy for you, Phillip. I'm happy for you. But yeah, so what do you think?
Was I only supposed to do one team that had a 5? Because if it was, then I would have put them
as. No, you can
do
as many as you want.
Oh, okay.
I have
then I'm doing
5
a 5
well.
For this one, too. Yeah. Yeah. So good. So good. Will Riley was better than literally anybody anticipated. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much film you watched on him. Because I watched quite a bit. He was probably the person that I watched the most high school tape on, and he played better in that game than I saw him play ever in high school. Like, it was unreal. I don't even think he was expecting that. Like, there were some moments in the second half where he was making shots, and he was kind of looking up at the crowd, and he was just like, you could just tell, like, how much joy was in his heart, basically, and it made me happy. Like, that's what college basketball is all about. Like, kid just comes in and drops 31 on your head in the first game. Like, it is incredible to watch. So, yeah, awesome game for him. Awesome game for Illinois. 5.
Yeah, and who cares about Eastern Illinois' feelings? Get out of there.
Yeah.
Don't come back.
Yeah. No one cares.
They only care about Will Riley's feelings.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
John says, I only look at Shaq level free throw shooting, JR. Okay. All right. That makes sense, John. We appreciate that. We appreciate it. And Phillip says, if you're coming to Champaign, be ready to drop 100. Pretty much. I don't know how certain teams are going to beat Illinois this season. I don't think they are. Like, unless Illinois shoots like 5-for-40 from behind the arc or something like that. But even then, they'll probably get like 30 layups. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
For sure.
With 20 and ones. So, all right, let's move on to Iowa versus Texas, whatever. I wrote down the acronym. I forget how to say their name, but Iowa 89, Texas, whatever, 67. I got to be honest, Kent, I kind of went back and forth between a 3 and a 4 here. I felt really good about Sanford and Freeman. Sanford, for me, is player of the year in the Big Ten contention. I just don't think his team is going to be good enough for him to win it. So, but he is definitely up there. Owen Freeman, he looks like he picked up right where he left off with this freshman of the year. I like that Dix, he wasn't just a scorer. I felt like he was distributing the ball more as well. He was kind of the ball handler a little bit in certain spots. So they had Thelwell playing off the ball a little bit, which I liked. But overall, like, it was a close game at halftime, and I just felt like they weren't executing super well. So, like, there was stuff from players that confirmed that I liked and new stuff from players that I liked, but the score at halftime just wasn't where I, like, wanted it to be, you know, like, it was just too close for me. So
yeah,
45-35 at halftime. They outscore them 47-32 in the second half. But so I kind of went back and forth between a 3 and a 4. What'd you think?
I'm at a 3 with them, and it's kind of based on, you know, some of the stuff that I said about some of these other teams. I just haven't been super, I wasn't confident going into the year, but based on this game alone, it just goes exactly how you said it. First half, I was starting to panic a little bit, and then second half they pull away, and I'm like, all right, I'm confident about this team. I'm right back to a 3. I'm neutral on them. And I have to, like I said, with some of these other teams, I have to look at this as Iowa. I understand they won this game by 22. Great. Good job. You're supposed to. That's why I'm neutral. And right. I'm thinking about the other teams that I watched, and I'm like, man, I am still kind of worried about Iowa. I don't think it's going to be the best year for them. I think it's going to be lower half of the Big Ten year for them. I know we're not doing, like, yearly predictions. We're just going confidence for this game, but
right. Well, and I think that was kind of their expectation going into the season, right? Like,
yeah.
Middle, yeah, I just think, but probably yeah. lower half of the Big Ten. That I didn't see anything that made me think, like, oh yeah, they're a step above. I saw stuff that made right. me think, oh, this player has taken a step, but I don't know if the team has taken a step. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly. I guess that's what kind of what I'm getting at is that my expectation was low. I'm at a neutral, so my expectation for them on this year is still low.
There we go. All right. Neutral. Well, it kind of yeah. fits with Purdue. Our expectation is high. Our expectation is still high, but it didn't get any higher, but yeah. it also didn't get any lower, so it makes yeah. sense.
Exactly.
So, yeah. All right. Let's go to Nebraska and UTR Grand Valley. I know that is how you say it. What is it? Rio Grande Valley, UT, University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. They beat them 87-67. Score was 42-36 in the first half. I mean, I really like Worcester. I think that he's a good ball handler for him. I think that there were other aspects of this game that I liked. Juwan Gary didn't super impress, but I felt like he kind of had you know, his single digit, not as many rebounds as I would have thought, 2 for 8 shooting from the field. But Bryce Williams was fantastic. He got to the line 11 times, went 10 for 11 from the line. So, I mean, you know, you can't really say too much about being disappointed with Bryce Williams or anybody. It's just kind of like you feel like there could have been more from Juwan Gary, at least for me. And then Nebraska, they got to figure out their 5. Without Rank Mast, they don't have a 5.
Yeah, except and that's kind of, I mean, we knew that though coming in, right? Like,
right. That's what I'm saying. For me, it's a 3 because I don't yeah. think anything changed.
I'll give them a 4 because coming in, I might be the lowest person in America on Nebraska. Like, I think that they're going to be bad, bad. So watching this game, I was like, all right, they're not as bad as I thought they were. So I'll give them a 4 just because I thought they played a little bit better than I was expecting them to ever play this year. So I'll give them a 4 just for that.
Yeah. All right, we're sticking on Monday night. A lot of games Monday night. We'll get to Tuesday where there's only one game here in just a second. But for me, Ohio State on Monday night, I talked about it earlier. I was super impressed with Ohio State. I'm going to give them a 5. The backcourt I felt like was everything I wanted to see. Aaron Bradshaw, even though he only had 2 points and he had 4 fouls in this one, I still felt like he was making an impact. I know that's probably like biased Ohio State fan there talking a little bit, and I get that. Maybe I'm just looking at it a different way, but I still felt like he was one of the better players on the floor for Ohio State, offensive and defensive wise. So you know, I mean, you definitely don't want your big man getting four fouls in his very first game, and your four to be getting four fouls as well. But I mean, the 3-point shooting from Ohio State, you know, they, when their 3-point shooting wasn't there, they got down low and they were, you know, finishing at the basket, getting to the free throw line, stuff like that. So I liked the pace of play this Ohio State team played with. I mean, I was looking at this Ohio State team as a middle of the pack, if not worst team. I feel like they could be a top six, top five team in the Big Ten this year. I feel like that's in the cards for them. So I'm going with a five.
Yeah, I feel like I'm with a five just based on this game as well. And it's because I kind of had I did have Ohio State like literally right in the middle of the Big Ten when I did my like preseason rankings. So watching them play this game much exceeded my expectations. So I'll give them a five based on that. And you're right. I think that it's not just Ohio State either, but I know we're talking about Ohio State right now, but there's so many teams that are going to be really good. And there's so many other teams that are going to be right there with them. So it could be anywhere from like, they could finish in fourth, they could finish in 12th. And it just is a matter of like how well they play and like how many wins they get in those big games when they're playing those similar teams. So, but again, going back to what we're doing actually with this exercise, five based on this game alone, it's the best win anybody has right now.
Yeah, it's the only team that played a good team.
Yeah.
So I think Eric pointed that out. He said, 5+ only Big Ten team to play an actual team in game one. Yeah, I mean, there's other teams, obviously, that have teams out there, but Ohio State challenged themselves at the beginning of the year, and it stuck out. So for me, like, they're the talk of the conference right now because everybody was picking Texas to win that game, and Ohio State comes out and wins it. So kudos to them. All right, let's talk UCLA and Rider. UCLA scored 41 in the first half. Rider scored 23, and they did not let up. 85-50 overall in the game. I wrestled kind of between a 4 and a 5 here a little bit, Kent. I like how do you pronounce that name? However you pronounce his name, the Oregon State transfer. He brings some much needed, you know, offensive life to this team. Kobe Johnson in this one, he had 3 assists. Andrews, he had 6 assists, 7 assists from Clark. So I mean, overall, like, I really like the way this UCLA team played. I felt like they were going to be a top half of the Big Ten team, possibly top five. I feel much more confident now. They're going to be a top five team at the very least in the Big Ten. And I know you're probably there with me, so I'm curious what your thoughts were after the game.
Yeah, I've been there. I didn't even have to watch most of this game because I just know what UCLA is. And I was like, I want to wait until they see it. Like, they actually play like a real team, which, by the way, might be their next game. Like, New Mexico, I think, is their next game, and they are not a slouch. That's going to be a game that people should definitely tune into. And if they blow New Mexico out, then you can start realistically saying, because they're not going to have like another really good game for a long time. So this is like their only game in November that you can even get kind of excited about. And if they blow them out, you can realistically say, okay, like, hang my hat. This is going to be a top three, top five team in the Big Ten, which I think that they will be regardless of the outcome of that game by the time Big Ten play rolls around. So I'm at a 5 with them. I was at a 5 with them entering. They didn't do anything to lose my max confidence, and I'll stick with it.
Love it. Love it. All right, moving on. Wisconsin and Holy Cross. Wisconsin won the game 85-61. However, at halftime, it was 36-35 against Holy Cross. I got to be honest here, Kent. I'm at a 2. I know they eventually blew them out, and I do think they deserve credit for that. So I'm not at a 1, but like, Greg Gard is starting something new here, and he did pivot. Credit to him. He did pivot. They were not shooting as many threes in the second half, but I don't know. Like, I feel like this team is all bought in on shooting the three. I don't know if they have the shooters to shoot the three that much. This is going to be an interesting one. The starting lineup for me in this one was interesting as well. Who they had? They had Winter, Crowell, Blackwell, Klesmet, Tanji. I don't know if that's a strong enough starting lineup in the Big Ten. And if they had a bunch of depth, I'd feel better about it. But that starting lineup played a lot of minutes. They only had 2 players coming off the bench that played more than double digit minutes. And that was Amos, who played 11, and John Nickey, who played 11. So I don't feel great about this team, and this game didn't make me feel any better.
No, me neither. But I do feel like you missed out on a huge opportunity with your panic meter here. Max Klezmet, I got to give it a one. Max,
yep.
Panic. Max, it's time to panic, buddy. I like you, brother. You're a great player. You can be a great player. Streaky sometimes, but I still love watching you play. I got to give it a one just based on the name alone. Max.
Yeah. Panic. I mean, looking at their game tonight, I did not watch it, so I'm purely box score reading, but they did shoot 11 for 22. I know, right? They did shoot 11 for 22 from the three, and they shot 53 shots overall. So they shot, what, 31 two-point field goals to 22 three-point field goals. So maybe they're adjusting, but like I said, this is purely based off the very first game. So we'll see how they do later on in the season. All right. Kent, your guys, Northwestern, 90-46 against Lehigh. Lehigh had 15 points in the first half. Northwestern had 51. My word.
They were kicking.
And no Brooks Barnheiser as well.
That's the reason. I'll go first on this one. I have to.
Do it.
I'm a five on this, and that's the reason why. Because, Brooks is going to – I think Brooks is their best player. You know, yeah. And – Martinelli has a chance to be that, and obviously they have Ty Berry. So night to night, like, Ty Berry is going to be your leading scorer. But Brooks is going to be the most consistent guy that's going to get you buckets and rebounds every single game. And they didn't have him, and they still blew this team out. Man, everything about Northwestern is just coming up roses right now, I feel like, because that game, everything that's happening in their recruiting class right now for next year, This is like a real deal Big Ten team. This is not like your 1990 Northwestern basketball team or whatever, whenever they were like really bad. I don't remember the years. I was young, but they're going to be good for a while. They're going to be good for a while, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. With Collins there, future's looking bright. I think many people were skeptical of Nobu Bui, including myself. I was skeptical of how it would work out, but looks like they've really developed some of these players. We'll see it against better competition. Lehigh, not exactly world beaters or anything like that, but definitely in this one, it feels really, really good seeing Lehigh only score 15 points in the first half. They had two players score in double digits, and only one of them was in their starting lineup. So just really, really good defense from Northwestern in this one. I'm at a five as well. So
perfect. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, I'm on the Northwestern trip. I mean, I wouldn't say I was picking them to finish in the bottom half, but I definitely saw a possibility for that. I didn't want to come on here and talk about it too much because I didn't think it would happen, but I saw the possibility for it. If they are consistent with what they showed against Lehigh, just like the way they play, I'm not even saying like you got to win by 40 points or whatever, 50 points or whatever, but if they're just consistent in what they showed, style of play and stuff, they're going to be really, really competitive in the Big Ten. So
I agree.
I don't think I'm missing any teams. Two more left on Monday. USC, Chattanooga. USC wins this one 77-51. Was a 10-point game at halftime. They obviously started to pull ahead in the second half. Kent, you said you saw this one probably more than I did. So what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pretty much neutral on this one because, again, I'm kind of baking in my preseason expectations. I kind of have them middle of the road. And especially the first half, I was like, man, this team's kind of boring to watch. I'll be honest. It wasn't really a good watch. It wasn't exciting basketball. It might have been because it was late. I'll give them some credit. Might be my fault a little bit. But I basically left the game when it was over saying, this is about what I expected to see from them, especially in the first game. I anticipate that they'll get better as the season wanes on, but as of right now, I'm thinking they're middle of the pack. They played like a middle of the pack Big Ten team, and I'm neutral about it.
Yeah, I wrestled with a little bit of a two and a three here. I ultimately went with a three just because I didn't see anything that made me think they're going to be worse than what I thought this season. I don't think they're going to be a top half of the Big Ten team, and I didn't see anything that made me think that. I also didn't see anything that made me think they're going to be like last place in the Big Ten or anything this year. They did what they needed to do to blow out Chattanooga, but there are concerns about the scoring on this team. I mean, their starting lineup together had, 23, 4 is 27, only 36 points in your entire starting lineup. So, I mean, you have to figure out a little bit more there. And it's not like their bench went off or anything like that. I mean, their bench did score more than that, but they only had one player on their bench with double-digit scoring, and Nolan, who didn't hit a single three-pointer. USC was 8 for 25 from three on the day. So shot a good amount of threes, only hit eight of them. You know, we'll see where they go from here. They're playing right now. Unfortunately, I'm not getting a chance to watch them, but game just started, so they're up by five on Idaho State. So I'll go back and watch that one later. But yeah, I'm there with
you. No, you won't. You're not going to go back and watch that. You don't want to watch
this. I probably will. I actually probably will. My son. I'm watching my son tomorrow, and I try not to put, you know, any Bluey on or anything for him. So typically we watch a lot of sports on Friday that I missed out on.
That's genius.
So he plays with the farm toys. I get to watch sports. It's a good time.
Perfect.
All right. Last one for Monday. Oregon 91, UC Riverside 76. Oregon went off in the first half, 51 points. UC Riverside did have 36 points, and they actually tied it in the second half, but you could tell Oregon kind of taking the gas off the pedal a little bit here. I don't know. Like, if I were Russ or Dylan or some of those guys that picked Oregon to be a top four team in the Big Ten, I'm probably at a two here, because I didn't see like top four level defense from Oregon out of this one. But obviously, like I said, they kind of exploded offensively. They had four different players in their starting lineup who had double digit scoring. But I mean, in this one, a game where you blew out UC Riverside, and really you should have blew them out, like they didn't only play four bench players. So for me, like, this kind of game, you need to get your guys out of there and see what you have on the bench. But yeah, I'm going to go with a three on this one. I think Oregon's a middle of the pack team in the Big Ten, and there wasn't anything in this game that swayed me from that. What do you think?
This is the one game that I haven't watched 1 second of yet. And I'll be honest, I'm not going to go back and watch that one. I'll wait until they play somebody different and catch them when I catch them. So I can't give a accurate rating on this one. So I'll go with what you said, which was a three, right?
Yep.
I mean, I could say that based off like just looking at the box score, but I don't like to say stuff when I didn't watch any of the game at all. So like, yeah, I would expect that to be the score, like, going into the game. And
yeah, I mean,
Oregon's tough to figure out, so I should have watched it, but I just didn't get around to it.
Oregon kind of played a little bit like Iowa in this one. They had Evans Jr. score 23 points in the game. He only played 20 minutes, and so you kind of had your main guy who was doing a lot. He went 2 for 5 from 3, 8 for 15 on the floor, and then Biddle, he had 16 points. Like, you had your kind of big producers and then your other offensive players that were there, but you just didn't really have the defense. So honestly, Oregon just kind of reminded me of Iowa a little bit in this one. I think Dayton Altman is too good of a coach to have that consistently happen throughout the year, but you know, for me, that's just what I saw in this first one. We'll see where they go from here. All right, Washington does not lose, but they do not win very well. Washington 79, UC Davis 73. It was 37-33 at halftime. Washington only wins the second half by 2 points. They allow UC Davis to score 40 points in the second half. One for me. Max panic. Washington is not good. Washington will most likely finish last in the Big Ten if this continues. We'll see. You know, still early, but I'm predicting it will.
Yeah, that's kind of – someone said that to me on Twitter. They replied, and they were like, it's a first-year head coach. They're going to figure things out. And it was to a tweet where I said, Washington stinks. And it's like, well, yeah, like, I'm sure they will. They're going to figure stuff out eventually, but let's call it what it is right now. They're bad. You know, I'm at max panic as well with Washington. I don't anticipate them winning a lot in the conference at all.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up 35 points to a player who averaged, I mean, he did average 18 points last year, but like, he gave up 35 points to him. And if I remember right, looking from the game log last year, he did not, like, he didn't do most of his scoring against big teams. Yeah. Oregon State, he had 9 points against last year. That was really his only big team he played. So yeah, he's scoring 18 points per game against mostly lower level college basketball competition, and then he plays against Washington and he scores 35 points. Like, yikes. Not a good sign for me if you're a Washington fan. Sorry, Washington fans. All right, moving on. Last one, Wednesday. The IU fans have been waiting for it. Indiana, number 17, Indiana wins 80-61 against Edwardsville. It was 42-30 at halftime. Indiana scores 38-31 in the second half. They come out winning this one by 19 points. I mean, like, there was definitely stuff in this game that I felt good about. Like, McKenzie and Baco going for 31 in this game, I felt good about. I felt like, you know, you saw some really good play from him to begin the season that you didn't see to begin the season last year. Of course, he's a sophomore, so that's going to happen. But he was the only one that hit more than one three-pointer. Miles Rice goes 1-for-2. Trey Galloway goes 1-for-1. Luke Goody goes 0-for-2. I mean, like, you are not going to win very many games if Luke Goody is giving you 0 points, 4 rebounds, 1 turnover, and 1 foul in 20 minutes of play. Like, I think Goody is better than that. So I'm not, yeah, and 16 turnovers is ugly, John is saying. Like, so I'm not, like, coming at Indiana here, but, like, I picked Indiana to win the Big Ten, and I still think they have the talent to do that, but I didn't see a team that's going to win the Big Ten against SIU Edwardsville. So, like, I feel like I have to go with a 2. Like, maybe I'm being too hard on him, but, like, I don't know. I saw a really good starting lineup, could have shot better other than Carlisle. Malik Renew, really good. McKenzie Mbako, really good. Umar Ballo shot 3-for-4 from the free throw line. So, you know, that's what you want to see. But, I mean, I think this team has to be more than their starting lineup to win the Big Ten this season. So I'm going 2.
I think 2 is, like, fair if you're saying that you think that they're going to win the Big Ten and then you're just basing your confidence off this one game. Like, that's a fair thing to say, right? But I'm going to stay at 3. Because I look at this Indiana team as kind of the opposite of their football team in the way that they're going to be able to grind out games, and almost anyone they play, I feel like it's never going to be a blowout, whereas their football team is blowing out everybody, right? And they're putting up all the, like, fancy numbers and everything. That's not what Indiana basketball is going to be this year. I'm not seeing that. And, you know, we talked about it all last year. They don't shoot threes, so their numbers are going to be lower because of that anyways. And they're going to be putting the ball inside a lot. You have Mbako, you have Ballo, you have Renew. Like, it's going to be all down low, like, long possessions, grind it out, get stops on defense, and go win games. And nothing's going to be super fancy, I don't think. So, as far as the stuff with Goody, like, yeah, bad game for sure. We know what he can be, though. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, next game, kind of like what you were saying, he could come out and hit 3 threes in the first half next game, you know, and no one's going to, like, blink an eye about that. They're going to be like, oh, that's why they went and got him. That's Indiana right there. They needed that 3-point shooting. So I'm not concerned. I'm neutral from where I was. I think they're still, I thought they were going to win the Big Ten. I still think that they're going to win the Big Ten. I understand why you went panic, because, like, it wasn't the best game ever to open the year, but I think that that's what we're going to see from them throughout the year, is this grinded out kind of style of basketball.
Yeah. John says he'd go 3. He thinks if Woodson focuses the scoring on Mac, Malik, and Miles, that's the big 3 of M's right there, they'll be fine. I agree. I think Miles could have been better in this one, 3-for-7, 1-for-2, but I felt like he was trying to do his best to distribute and stuff like that and be a good point guard. He did have 2 steals, so you know, I can't knock Miles too much. Like I said, the starting lineup played really well. For me, it's kind of the depth and stuff like that you need to see. I thought it was interesting that, you know, Carlisle got the start and didn't really produce all that much. And then you saw Trey Galloway. He only got 17 minutes of play, had 6 points, 9 assists, 2 rebounds. Maybe you might have to put Trey Galloway in there. I don't know. Like, that was who I predicted would start to, you know, in the offseason, but I thought it would be more of an injury thing. I'm kind of surprised they put Carlisle in there instead of Galloway, but I don't know. You know, for me, it's like Woodson seems like the thing people are most concerned about this season, and I don't know if he did a whole lot to make me not feel that way in this one. But he will adjust. Like, he has adjusted in the past. We'll see. John's concerned about Ballo. He says if he continues to try and make Ballo the Khalil Ware that I'll go to. So yeah.
Did Trent Galloway grow a mustache, or was I seeing things the other night?
I think he did. Who knows?
I was maybe trying to find a picture of it.
We'll see. We'll see. Yes, I do remember he was coming off injury, but I mean, like he played 17 minutes in this one. So yeah, I don't know if maybe that was the big thing of why he didn't start him or what, but John does bring up a good point. Carlisle's a dog on defense. He was everywhere. Yes. Yeah. That is something for sure, that he was really good on defense. So I just look at it. You got 25 minutes of playing time, one steal, three assists, six rebounds. Like those are good numbers, but it's really hard to, you know, play a guy 25 minutes when he's going 0-for-3 from behind the arc, even if he's a really good defender. But we'll see. Maybe I'm freaking out too much. Maybe I'm freaking out too much. I could be. Like I said, I'm going off the expectation of best team in the Big Ten. So that's kind of, I don't think you can go with a 5 or a 4 when your expectation is best team in the Big Ten. So
yeah, I agree with you on that. The thing that stinks about Indiana too is like, we're not going to know like really how good they are until conference play starts, because their non-conference is so bad. Like, what are they playing? South Carolina is like their best game. Like, and I don't even know if they're good or not. Like, South Carolina already lost a game. They lost to North Florida. So, no, they're not good. Immediately. I'm like,
Louisville?
I don't know who they're playing that's going to get us, like, to a point where we're confident about Indiana.
Louisville plays Tennessee on Saturday. Gosh, I hate college basketball games on Saturday during football season. Like,
yeah, that's the worst.
Can you not? I really
don't have
the Friday.
They don't have a single game in non-conference that's going to be like, oh man, look at, they just beat, I guess, did you just say Louisville? Sorry, I was still looking at it.
Yeah, they have Tennessee on Saturday, so we'll see what happens there.
Wait, they play Tennessee on Saturday?
Louisville does.
Oh, I thought you said Indiana does. I was like, whoa, wait.
Yeah, they play Louisville 27th. So is that right before Thanksgiving or is that the week after? One of those two. I think it's the week right before Thanksgiving. So they play them on the 27th. But yeah, that's if Louisville's a good team, that's really their only test outside of the conference.
We'll get to see Chucky Hepburn again, right?
Yeah, Chucky. There we go. So John's saying battle for Atlantis. So yeah, they'll have more ones. That's right. It doesn't always tell you the tournaments here.
Oh, is that what I'm missing?
Yeah, it's the asterisk.
Okay, well then there we go. We'll wait for that
location. So yeah, if they beat Louisville, then they'll play more. So thanks for the reminder there, John. Phyllis says Indiana has a battle for Atlantis. Their only non-conference game.
My bad.
Interest for Indiana. Yeah.
Hands up. That's on me. I forgot about that.
That's South Carolina. Not really very interesting. That game's on Peacock. We have the Gamecocks on Peacock.
That's a lot of.
Yep.
There's no way around it. That's a lot of cock.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I mean, it's Peacock and Gamecocks. Come on.
In a week, too. Yeah, week in 2 days.
Excuse my language. That's in 1 week?
Week in 2 days. Yeah, the 16th.
Okay, so
the Gamecocks on Peacock.
Wait, do they have a bracket? I'll look at that later. Never mind. We're not
talking
about
Atlantis, though. Atlantis is Louisville. So. All right. More games.
Okay.
Two more games, Kent, and then we'll skip Joe Lunardi. This went way longer than I thought.
Okay,
yeah. I mean, unless you really want to yell about Joe Lunardi, then you can. But
we'll have all season to do that.
That's fine. Yeah. All right. Rutgers wins 75-52 over Wagner. Rutgers was ahead 36-19 in the first half. They were about even in the second half, but kind of, you know, brought the starters out and stuff like that. Ace Bailey didn't play in this one. Now, Wagner is not a good basketball team, much like all these teams that we're talking about are not, but I think it is a lot to be said that Rutgers didn't have Ace Bailey and they still blew a team out. They still looked pretty good. And Dylan Harper is really good. So, other than the 1-for-6 on free throws and 1-for-4 from 3-point range, he still went 9-for-14 from the floor. He had 4 assists, 3 steals. He did have 4 turnovers. So, that is a kind of freshman mistake there, but this Rutgers team overall played like a good team. It definitely looked like a team that wasn't just the Dylan Harper show. What'd you think?
Yeah, Just by the way, that Dylan Harper three that he did make was his first collegiate shot of his life. Nice. And it was pure, pure. So that made me really excited. Yeah, I am. I'm at a four. I actually missed your number. What'd you say?
Oh, I didn't say it yet, but I was at three.
Okay, yeah, I'm at a four with them. Only because they played up to my expectation without a future lottery pick that was supposed to be playing that night. But by the way, if I could for a second, the most depressing part of my day on Wednesday was that. Was that yesterday? Yeah, it was yesterday. That was really sad when I learned that he wasn't going to be playing yesterday. And I hope that he's okay, because it wasn't that he just like didn't play. I think he got injured in practice, but I'm hoping that it's just like I'm out for like a couple games or whatever, and then I'll be back at full strength. But yeah, I still think
was on their message board. And
oh, was it?
I was reading about it on their message board, and their insiders didn't sound super concerned. They made it sound like it was kind of like Pykele was like, I don't want to get him hurt against Wagner. Like, we'll be fine against Wagner. So
yeah. The person I was most excited to watch play basketball this week, though, and I didn't get an opportunity to do that. So now I'm sad about my life. Yeah, I still think that Rutgers exceeded my expectations slightly, because I thought that they were going to be this good, but I thought they were going to do it with Ace, and he wasn't there. So I'll go four on this one.
I'm at a three. I'm not like some of the people on there. On their message board, there were people freaking out on the Rutgers message board. Like, this is a 500 basketball team. What are we doing? I did not see that at all. I think this was a team that had pretty good defense. I think Philip pointed out, yeah, this Rutgers defense was better than I expected it to be. I'm going to be honest. I felt like it was going to be okay with Ace Bailey, but when Ace Bailey wasn't in, I was like, ooh, yikes. Wagner might, you know, get up to 70 in this one, but the defense was so good. They did a good job containing some of Wagner's better offensive players. But overall, like, you know, I feel like Rutgers is probably a top five team in the Big Ten. I saw good play. I didn't see anything that made me think they're all of a sudden going to be the best team in the Big Ten. So for me, it's a three, not because I didn't like what they did or anything, but just because they played like a top five team in the Big Ten. And I think they're going to be a top five team in the Big Ten. So
I'm just curious, like, what Rutgers fans were expecting, like, you know, without Ace in there. Do you want to beat them by 40? Like, everything else happened that I think you wanted to happen. Dylan Harper was really good. Lathan Somerville showed up, and like another freshman where you're like, I didn't know what to expect from him. And like, not a ton of points, but like, he was affecting the game in multiple different ways on different levels. And, you know, they had everything going that they needed to have going against a team like Wagner. And they were never, this game was never in doubt. Like,
I'm reading through stuff while you're talking. They're just psychoanalyzing everything. Okay. They're like, this is a team that was under 500 in the NEC last year. There's no reason they should be scoring under, like, above, like, literally there's one comment over here that says there's no reason a team in the NEC should score over 50 on us.
Oh no, they scored 52. Oh, okay, all right,
watch out.
They're gonna be fine.
Yeah, they're
Rutgers
gonna be fine.
Gonna be fine. Everyone in the fans, that's a Rutgers crazy fan should be excited.
Well, I'm learning more about Rutgers fans. I think Rutgers fans are just kind of crazy in their own way, because when we brought Larry on to talk about Rutgers and kind of when they were struggling in football, he was telling us that they were talking about wanting to fire Greg Schiano in the middle of the season this year. It's like, guys, Greg Schiano is the best football coach you've ever had in your history. Chill. Do not fire Greg Schiano. I cannot tell you how bad of a decision it would be to fire Greg Schiano. But yeah, so. All right, and then last game here, Kent. Minnesota beats Oral Roberts 80-57. Now, this is not your Max Asemus Oral Roberts. However, this is an Oral Roberts team that you know, they're a good basketball program. I don't know what they'll be doing this year, but they're a well ran basketball program. So for Minnesota to go into this one and put up 80 points, it was really good. Dawson Garcia had 30. That was encouraging. Parker Fox, your guy, started. 13 points. He did have two personal fouls, but you know what? Just the aggression of a good basketball player. I'm going to go with a four in this one, Kent.
I was going to go four too, but this is what I expected from Minnesota in a game like this. Like, you have, I still
the most proud dad smile on your face.
I know.
When I was talking about Parker Fox, like, you're like, yeah, yeah. I know.
Like, it was so crazy last night. Like, going through Twitter and like watching all the Parker Fox stuff. Basically, it was just like a joyous moment because I have been with Parker since day. Like, literally, no one could say that they've been a day one more than me with Parker Fox. Nobody. So I was really happy to see him in the starting lineup, to see all the pub he was getting. He had a mic on before the game during warmups, listened to every second of it.
That's awesome.
It's just a great time, you know, 6 for 6 and field goals. But no, obviously the real story is Dawson. That sounded real funny. This has been a long show, man. I'm going to start saying some weird stuff. No, Dawson Garcia, like, really impressive, obviously. Potentially one of the best players in the Big Ten and potentially going to have the best numbers because of the team that he is surrounded with. You know, when you have it's not like he's got the worst players, but they are counting on him to score a lot every game.
Oh, yeah.
So he might lead the conference in scoring. He might have to, just for Minnesota to be decent. I'll say 4 with them as well. I'm confident about them. But I got to say, I was pretty confident going into this game, at least.
Well, when I was asked who would be the first coach fired in the Big Ten, I said Ben Johnson. And that's not because I thought that, you know, Minnesota was going to be a terrible team or something like that. But I thought there was the possibility of, if things didn't go well in Minnesota, you know, there could be some kind of turmoil or something like that. But credit to them. I mean, this team looked really well put together. Dawson Garcia, you know, looks like a player of the year in the Big Ten caliber type of player. And I don't think he'll win it, similar to Peyton Sanford. I just don't think Minnesota will be good enough to win it. But they definitely still have some things to iron out, though. I mean, Brandon Rigsby had 3 turnovers in this one. He was a transfer you brought in, kind of be more of the ball handler. Mike Mitchell only had 7 points in this one, but he did have 9 assists. So, you know, he was out there dealing a lot. However, you know, not much bench production. So we need to see what happens with Frank, what's his last name? Transfer.
Isn't it Frank Mitchell?
Is it Mitchell? I wanted to say Mitchell because of Mike Mitchell. Okay, maybe it is. So Frank Mitchell, you know, we need to see what happens with him. I think once he gets back in, it's going to make this Minnesota starting lineup even better. Hopefully that's soon, because I like this Minnesota team. I liked what I saw against Oral Roberts.
Are we going to do this again this year?
Yes.
Are we doing this again?
Probably.
All right. Whatever. I'm with it.
I mean, they don't have I'm forgetting his name now. I'm terrible with names. What was it, the point guard last year?
You talking about Christie or
No, Hawkins.
Oh yeah, Hawkins, yeah.
Yeah. Now they don't have him, so, you know.
Imagine if they got Christie to come back, though, because that was like a thing for a while.
Yeah. Man, if they had Christie.
This team would be talked about very differently, especially with the guys that you just mentioned, like Frank. Like, I think people need to learn about Frank, man. Like, he's actually going to be Frank the Tank down low. Like, he's going to be clearing some bodies out for Dawson to get to the basket even more, I think. And it's going to be really fun. He better not start for Parker, though. That's the only problem I'll have.
You don't want him to come back if he starts.
If he's going to come in for Parker, like, which that has to be the spot he's playing, right?
Yeah.
Like, the starters were, yeah. No.
I mean, he is only 6'8", so... Yeah, but we'll see. That was my thought with Frank. I was like, he is undersized, but man, he's 260. He is going to be a tank.
He's going to be beast down there. He's going to be moving people.
From Canada. Watch out.
Ben Wallace was only 6'8". Don't forget.
That's true. He plays much bigger than 6'8".
Yes, he did.
All right, everybody. We are going to go ahead and skip the Joe Lenardi segment because that took much longer than I thought it would. I always want to do these segments about the entire Big Ten, and hopefully it's only like, you know, 30, 40 minutes or something like that, and then it never is because we talk too much. So we appreciate all of you sticking around and watching. We try to not go over an hour and a half, but, you know, it is what it is. We get to talking, and we want to talk about every single Big Ten team, so it is what it is. We are going to be back Thursday night again. At least I will be. I don't know if Kent will be here. We'll see. If Kent can't be here, I'll probably have somebody like Burke or Russ or somebody like that back again, and we'll be talking about more of these games, probably be previewing a lot of games, because next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday has a lot of really good Big Ten basketball games to look at. So you can join me and Kent on Saturday night for the Power Rankings episode. And then Sunday night, going to have a special guest, Jeffrey the Greek, on Sunday night to be recapping games. Zach is on vacation, so I got a little free play time now. We're going to be bringing Jeffrey on. Always love having Jeffrey on. He's one of my favorite guys to listen to about Big Ten football, so that's going to be a good time. Kent, what's going on over at Casual Big Ten?
I mean, people for sure need to come back for that. Jeffrey's the only person that I like listening to talk about sports more than myself. Like, because I'll go back and listen to myself a lot. Like, man, I sound good. I'm so smart. But Jeffrey, I think, is the only one that I like listening to more than myself. Not a lot going on with me. Just doing Twitter. I got an announcement coming on Monday that you know about already, but not everybody does. So stay tuned to Twitter on Monday. It's big for me. I don't know if it's big for everybody else. And USC is losing to Idaho State right now. And there's 4 minutes left in the first half. So I don't remember what I said about them, but it's bad. And also, one last thing about being bad, like, I love it. I love that the Big Ten puts stuff on Big Ten Plus, and they let the students run the cameras and the microphones and everything. But it is, I have to be honest, because I'm always honest, and I don't care what people think. It is a terrible viewing experience, most of these games. That Minnesota game yesterday was brutal to watch. Like, that was the camera, I was going to have a seizure. I'm doing the same thing right now. I don't think they have all the lights on at the USC arena, whatever it's called. I'm still learning arena names, but
they let the students turn the lights on too. They forgot to turn.
Like, what is going on right now? Like, with some of these, I love it. I love it, but I love that they're doing it for the kids, because that's what college sports is about, right? Like, trying to educate these kids. But man, I don't know if they have a future in TV, some of them.
Did I tell you when I was in college, I ran the camera for the football team for a season?
Did you?
Yeah, I did. How'd that go? I did. Actually, really well. Really good at it. They really liked me and they wanted me to come back. And I was like, does it pay anything? Like, I did it for free this entire season. They're like, no, it doesn't pay anything. I was like, okay, no, I don't want to do that. Like,
no wonder they wanted you to come back.
I just stand in a football game for 4 hours and follow the ball. Like, I like football, don't get me wrong, but I was like, I'm gonna stand up here for 4 hours afterward, I didn't get like free food or anything, because you can't leave the camera and go someplace. Like, when they first told me that I was doing it, they were like, "Oh yeah, like we'll get send somebody up there, and you get the third quarter off to like go get a free burger or something like that." I was like, "Oh okay," and then nobody ever came in the third quarter, and I was like, "Well, this sucks." Like,
you should have just left the camera on and been like, "You guys said I had third quarter off. Like, sorry."
Just, like, the wide view and like leave it.
The all 22, JR's all 22.
I'm not following this around. But the worst part about it was the camera angle was awful. Like, I wasn't even center of the field looking at it. They put me in the, like, at the top part of the bleachers on the complete left side. So, like, when they were driving on the left side of the field, it looked really, really good because I was right down the middle at it. But when I was when they were driving on the, like, right into the field, I was, like, looking at the center's butt. Like,
that's what they're doing with all these basketball games right now. I think they're setting these kids up in like the weirdest location. They're so bad, dude. I shouldn't say it's that bad. Like, you can still get a glimpse of what the game is, but like, anytime there's a dead ball, it's just like
hilarious. Oh man. All right, everybody. Well, have fun watching Big Ten Plus and watching the students do it. So, you know, encourage them, tell them they did a good job, and thanks for trying. But, we appreciate you being here. Thank us for trying. We tried tonight. Okay. So even if you hated it, we still tried. So
that's right.
And Kent donates his time to come here and help out. So, we appreciate it, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll see you Saturday night for the Power Rankings episode.